Hi, Kaisers. How are you today? Woo-hoo-hoo. Today, we are full of victory.
We are
intense. Okay, so last week we spoke about identity, and as you remember, our identity in Christ. If you remember, we are chosen in Christ. We are also chosen, yes. We are royal, and we are holy. So, and then we touched on water baptism, and the important thing about water baptism to remember is that do it ASAP, as soon as possible. We have a sign up over there, and next week we'll be doing water baptism. Let nothing hold you back, guys. Just sign up. Amen. So, and what we're talking about in the coming weeks is today, generational curses, sexual sins, addiction, relational issues, and spiritual errors. Generational curses. Dun, dun, dun. So, this is a vintage car, old car. And this is a sexier, newer youth version, June 16 version of the same car. These are the same version, both VWs. The one is from 1951 and the other one is from 2013. Five generations of the same car. Can you see the progression? Same thing here with the VW Golf. Progression, you see how things get better with age. This is five generations of one family. So great, 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 great to great to grand to mother to child. Same here, and something to notice here that, can you see how likenesses are passed down from generation to generation? Literally all of them have the same smile and the same jawline, which is kind of creepy, but that's a story for another day. So sins affect generations, and the Bible says, you shall not bow down to idols, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of the for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Exodus 20, verse 5. And so this scripture is telling us that sins run through family lines. And what the Bible calls the sin of drunkenness, today we call, alcoholism. So we call it genetics, we call it disease, we call it bad luck. But what it really is a generational curse. So, but we can also, we live under God's blessings, but sometimes we experience curses, unfortunately. And what do curses look like? And this is for us to all be able to identify these curses in our own lives and be able to really eradicate them like a soldier in the victory that we have in Christ. The first one is recurring financial lack or failing businesses over and over. And in this one, the Bible says, the grain you harvest and the bread you bake will be cursed. You will plant many crops in the fields, but harvest little because locusts will destroy your crops. And I've experienced this actually in my own business life, where you're working and working and working, but you're not getting the return that you're expecting. And so we had to look at the spiritual aspect of what could be holding back our business. Ongoing incurable diseases. And the Bible here says, the Lord will strike you with disease, fever, and inflammation. The Lord will afflict your knees and your legs with severe boils that can't be cured. And another thing to say about Deuteronomy 28 is that God was speaking to the Israelites, giving them advice on how to live, that you have a choice between life and death. And so he was telling the Israelites, these are the consequences of choosing death, basically, or not choosing me. And in this one, for example, a very good friend of mine's mom died of breast cancer. And then she, at the tender age of 30, also had breast cancer. And so she has had to deal with what is the generational link with this cancer thing. In our own family, my grandfather died of cancer. And we had to break that curse that no one in our family will ever die of cancer again. Repeated mental illness. The Lord will send you curses, panic, and frustration in everything you do and strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. Deuteronomy 28, verse 20 to 28. Now, this one is very tricky to notice, especially in the Black community, because mental illness is not something people talk about, or emotional dysfunction. People just go, no, she's a bit off, but yeah, she's fine, you know. So it's very, very important for us to look at ourselves to go, are my reactions to things a little bit extra? Am I dealing with an emotional dysfunction? And is this something my mom exhibited and my grandmother exhibited? Just keep a close eye on that one, because it's a tricky one to notice. There's a slide missing here, but it's about diseases. Again, I'm moving on. Yes, and this one is about barrenness. And if there's a problem with difficult pregnancies within your family, the Bible says you will be cursed and will have few children. Your land will have few crops. Your cattle will be cursed with few calves, and your flock will have few lambs. Deuteronomy 28, verse 18. And this one is about abundance. You know, if you notice in your family that people are really struggling with, growing the family. In my family, actually, the same thing kind of happened. A lot of these things happen in families, where my aunt and my sister both got married in the same year. 3 years later, they were both pregnant at the same time, and they both miscarried at the same time. And then my grandmother, very powerful prayer warrior, was like, this here and no further, this is where we draw the line. And today my sister has 5 children. So that curse was really broken. And repeated oppression is the fifth curse. You won't be successful in anything you do as long as you live. You'll be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. People you never knew will eat what your land produces, and what your hard work have produced. Deuteronomy 28, verse 29-33. And I feel like this is something we're experiencing right now in South Africa, where, you know, we're working really hard, but it feels like there's just this gap, this barrier that we're constantly having to fight through. And we're having to look at, even here at Every Nation, at how can we get rid of that curse that is over our land, so that the things that we produce benefit us, not people from other places. Frequent home disunity, another big one in South Africa that we're struggling with. You will be engaged to a woman, but another man will have sex with her. You will build a house, but you won't live in it. You'll plant a vineyard, but you won't enjoy the grapes. This one, I think all of us have experienced this. Out of 10 friends, 9 of them have come out of divorced families, including myself. And so this one is a big one, because we don't really see it as the effects of it, which that they disintegrate a nation. You know, without families, our nation won't go anywhere. And so this one is a big, big one. I know it's on the heart of the church to really break this curse of our nation. So where do curses come from? Not a cauldron. So one of the... we'll be exploring 7 places that curses come from. Never make your own carved idols or statues that represent any creature in the sky or on the earth or in the water. Never worship them or serve them, because I, the Lord your God, am a God who does not tolerate rivals. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8-9. And another way to look at this is, whatever you look at to give you peace other than God is an idol. So it could be a pair of clothes, it could be a singer, it could be a friend, it could be your parent. Nothing other than God can give us peace. And so if we make anything bigger than God, we are making it our idol, and we risk putting those curses that we just read about into our lives, or opening the door to them. Dishonoring our parents. Cursed is the person who dishonors his father or his mother. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8-9. And this one is a tricky one, because you can dishonor your parent in your mind. Yes, this picture, someone is shouting directly at their mom, at their dad. But you can dishonor your parent in your mind, and that's just as bad, because it will come out eventually. How you view your parents is reflected in how you treat them. And as a parent myself, I realize that sometimes we don't treat our parents like people. We think that they don't have feelings and that we can just dump our on them. Guys, love your parents. They're soft and cushy inside. Being unjust or violent is another source of curses. Cursed is the person who withholds justice from the alien, and by alien, God means the foreigner. The fatherless or the widow. Cursed is the person who kills his neighbor secretly. Deuteronomy 27, verse 19 to 24. This one is self-explanatory. We are experiencing it every day in this country, and it's because of the fact that, you know, we're fighting against a nation that doesn't want to give their heart back to God. And so it's affecting all of us in one way or another. Speaking curses. He loved to put curses on others, so he too was cursed. He did not like to bless others, so he never received a blessing. Psalm 109, verse 17 to 18. And this one, I see it almost like a mirror. When you shine a light on a mirror, what happens? It reflects back to you. So that's how powerful words are. They bounce back to you. So if you're out here going, that girl is such a trust me, you're talking about yourself, or you're putting that upon yourself. So the tongue is very, very powerful. Be careful how you use it. Being immoral. Whoever has sexual intercourse with his sister, his father's daughter, his mother's daughter, or his mother-in-law will be cursed. Deuteronomy 27, verse 21 to 23. And this one is something that I have experienced as well in my family, and it tears a family apart. It really tears a family apart. Leave the cursed part. The wounds that are left behind are so deep, and you have to now undo so much hurt that it's not worth even tackling or touching. Don't do it. Illegitimate birth. No one born of a forbidden marriage nor any of his descendants may enter the Lord's assembly, even down to the 10th generation. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. And for me, this one, it's not just about, you know, being a teen mom or something like that. It goes beyond that. It's about who do you choose to be in your life, because once you have a baby with someone, they're with you forever, for generations, forever. So God here is calling us to really be very, 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 very conscious about who we merge our gene pool with, because there's no divorcing. There's no divorce when you've merged your gene pool together. Robbing God. You are cheating me when you don't bring a tenth of your income to the storehouse. So a curse is on you because the nation is cheating me. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 9. And for me, this one is more about attitude as well. Because what God has given us is something for us to be thankful about. And so when we don't show our gratitude to God, it affects us. It affects our lives, because gratitude is a very, very powerful way of bringing life, you know, joy into your life. And so when we don't practice the spirit of gratitude, we're robbing God of an experience of us, and we're robbing ourselves of even more abundance coming into our lives. So we're not only robbing God, but we're robbing ourselves as well. So how do we become free from curses? For me, this symbol of the cross is the best or the biggest symbol of love. So for me, love or the cross is a way to be free of curses, because love eradicates all, as we all know. So in Christ, or through the cross, we have been redeemed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Galatians 3, verse 13. Now imagine literally approaching a stranger who has boils from head to toe. And because of the love you have for this person, you say, I'm willing to take this from you. I'm willing to suffer what you're suffering so that you don't have to go through it anymore. I'd rather go through the pain and pass and outcastness because I love you. That's what Christ did for us on the cross, or that's what love did for us on the cross. And through the cross, we are blessed. Christ paid the price so that the blessing promised to Abraham would come to us. Galatians 3, verse 14. And that promise is one of abundance, of one of fruitfulness, of one of joy. And so Christ took our place so that we can experience life as joy, as peace, as fun, man. So we have a choice between life or death, or blessings or curses. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that your children may live. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 to 20. So in everything that we do, we have a choice. God is not just going to strike us down. That's not the God we serve. We serve a God of love. And all of these things are to keep us safe and to give us the best life that we can possibly live. So choose life. We're now going to do the handout over here. So you'll see that there's three columns. There's you just have to choose if in your family you have or you're experiencing alcoholism or drug abuse. You either say, no, we're not, or we did in the past but we broke it, or right now we are experiencing it. And what we're going to do is after we have, you know, reflected and identified what curses are operating in our lives, we will get rid of them and eradicate them and rebuke them. So take some time. All right, guys. So I hope you've had enough time to really consider identifying those curses. And we're going to pray together to just that last soldierly victory. Victory dance, victory prayer that we're going to pray over our lives. So bow your heads and please repeat after me. All right, let's stand together and really, really believe, guys. It's very important for us to believe that what we say here will be established and that we will walk out of here with those curses left behind on those pieces of paper, and they will not operate in our lives after this. Amen? So, Lord, we recognize and identify the generational curses that hold our families back. Today, we repent and turn our backs. We ask that you may help us to renew our minds to see the situation differently. We renounce, Lord, and we break any agreement and any power that these curses have had over our lives. That is in the past. We no longer are bound by any agreements that have been made on our behalf or that we have made with these curses. We rebuke, Lord, and remove the authority of the evil one over our lives. The evil one no longer has any power over us, and we close that door for generations to come. We receive, Lord God, the blessing and the grace. Where there was unforgiveness and bitterness before, we receive forgiveness and we receive grace. And we know because of the work that you have done on the cross, that this is established, that we will no longer experience family dysfunction or any curse of any kind in our families and in our communities. Amen. So, guys, please crumple up as a sign that this is done, this is over, we have victory over any generational curses. And please come put and declare your victory into this very heavy helmet. It's like a really real helmet. pass the situation. Woo-hoo! So, guys, we are free of all of this. We are free and we walk in another direction, a direction of abundance, a direction of peace, a direction of joy. So next week, continuing on our victory series, we'll be talking about relational issues. This one is a deep one because we all have we have relationships with our parents, we have relationships with ourselves, we have relationships with God, and there may be some tweaking, some renovations that need to happen in those relationships. So I hope to see you next week and have an amazing week. Let's close this incredible, victorious session with a prayer. Father God, I pray that we're so thankful and so grateful that we can come to you, Lord Jesus, knowing that we'll be received with open arms. We thank you that you declared that we are free before we even came here. You made a declaration on the cross that we are free of any curse that was put on our families, by us or by generations before, and we know that we can walk out of here in full victory, knowing that we are embracing a life that is full of abundance, of joy, of lightness, of playfulness, of you, of Holy Spirit, like funness. So we are so happy that this week is going to be such an amazing reflection of the miracle that has happened here today. We praise you. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.